You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer, and I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. We've almost come to the divisional playoffs here for the NFL. We got Saturday games, doubleheader then, Sunday games as well. The Sunday games are outstanding here with the Bills and Bengals and the 49ers and Cowboys. Before that, we have Eagles, Giants, and the Chiefs-Jaguars game. So a lot of excitement there. Hopefully a lot of offense, and we do have a lot of young quarterbacks. No quarterback in the field is older than 29 years old. That's Dak Prescott. So young guns, exciting players, good weapons in the passing game, and we'll break that down for you here, wide receivers and tight ends, how they stack up against each other. It's tough to navigate this week because it's all good, and we will get into that here for the most part. There's some players that are going to run into some tougher matchups than they would expect here this week, but a lot of good players in great positions here this week. So we'll get into that for you, the wide receivers, tight ends, and streaming defenses there if you're looking for a play there. And we only have eight teams as options, so we'll figure that out for you as well. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available to you on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's Crossover Thursday, presented by our friends at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is so much fun. It's easy to play. No competing with other players. Just you versus the projections available. Pick 2 to 6 players, and they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. It literally can take less than 60 seconds to enter. It's that easy. We love Prize Picks, and we know you will too. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's PrizePicks.com, promo code Locked On. Don't forget, as we close the show with Lineup Friday there on tomorrow's show, we will have our Prize Picks picks of the week there as our DFS report continues throughout the playoffs. So with that, we'll look at the selections of the week. We did pretty well with our dozen guys that we had going more than the Prize Picks projection. So we'll figure out where to go there. And a part of it will be knowing what we've broken down already with the quarterbacks and running backs. If you missed that, check it out. And now with the wide receivers, tight ends, and what numbers we want to attack. So let's dive right into the top wide receivers on the board. May not be a surprise here too much, but Stephon Diggs, I figure the Bills are going to feed him a little bit more. He didn't score a touchdown. He was the leading receiver for the Bills, but you had Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox getting the end zone, as well as Cole Beasley. So Diggs was the one key target for Josh Allen, who didn't score against the Dolphins. So Diggs probably is going to score here. He's going to be busy. The volume and target share was there. This Bengals secondary can give up the big plays. They did lose Jadobi Awuzie, so that hurt. You have Eli Apple, got torched a couple times last week. So I think Diggs is going to have a big opportunity to make big plays in this one as the number one. So I like him on top of all the receivers this week, and he came through nicely. Just didn't score last week, but he's Diggs. He's reliable each week. Ja'Marr Chase did score. He scored against the Ravens for the Bengals. He was their one receiving score there. The other touchdowns came on a Joe Burrow run and that Sam Hubbard fumble return. So Ja'Marr Chase did find the end zone. He looked pretty good. They've done a better job of scheming him open when the deep ball has been taken away. They worked him in the slot at times when it's needed. That's kind of hurt Tyler Boyd in these other receivers. But Ja'Marr Chase is proved to be a do-everything receiver here, kind of like Diggs, that you can line him up everywhere and throw to him. So I expect Joe Burrow and Josh Allen not to disappoint in this game, so it's going to go back and forth. So we like the two alphas. Diggs has a slightly better matchup. Chase has a decent matchup as well. The Bills secondary has not been shutting things down as we normally know. I mean, they were lucky last week with Skylar Thompson turning to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So that changes here with Joe Burrow. Big upgrade in quarterback and big upgrade in the receiver they're facing there on the outside. So I think you'll see Chase really have a nice game as well as Diggs. So those guys, Diggs, Chase, 1-2 on the board at wide receiver for the divisional playoffs. The third receiver here is it's a tough guy to drop too far down because he's going to be involved, but I think the Giants will work to try to contain him a little bit. But A.J. Brown, we know he can explode for multiple touchdowns at any point here. He's the go-to guy. This is his first playoff game for the Eagles. He'll be eager to get it done. It's not like the secondary is shutting down for the Giants here, but I think after last week, Justin Jefferson being contained, A.J. Brown's a different type of receiver. He's a little physical. They can work him in the red zone. So I like A.J. Brown. Good chance to score a touchdown. I think his yards might be limited this week, but I look at Brown being heavily involved as usual. And really, first playoff game, they're going to try to get the squeaky wheel some grease. CeeDee Lamb, this 49ers secondary, it is a weakness. They do have Charvarius Ward, but a little bit thin ever since they lost Emmanuel Moseley. You can work them in the slot a little bit. Lamb does line up at the slot more than 50% of the time. They're going to scheme him open. I think it's going to be a little tougher for the 49ers. They're keeping up with Lamb than on the outside with Michael Gallup and whoever they put there with Noah Brown. But Lamb can move around. Again, the secondary is pretty vulnerable. I also expect the 49ers to contain the running game. We said we didn't love Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott, so that should create some volume here for Dak Prescott, who had the 4 touchdown passes on top of the touchdown run against the Buccaneers. So CeeDee Lamb stays hot. I think they're going to have to involve him a little more this week because the 49ers are pretty good against outside receivers and the tight end, so that should lead to some high volume for CeeDee Lamb. Deebo Samuel, we can't drop too far, kind of like A.J. Brown, but it seems like every week it's a different type of receiver. So George Kittle was cooled off against the Seahawks. He usually will go off in that tight end type of matchup, but Deebo Samuel kind of worked as the running back, tight end, wide receiver, middle of the field. He's dominating. The Deebo had the long touchdown as well. So I think Deebo cools off a little bit this week, but still he's an elite receiver and he's in the top 5. Devonta Smith, I'm going to bump up. Yeah, Devonta Smith really high on my list this week. I do like his usage. Keep in mind, we saw the Vikings go away from Jefferson and a lot of TJ Hawkinson. That's good news for Dallas Goedert. We'll get into that a little bit more. But also pretty good game for Adam Thielen. KJ Osborne scored. So number 2, number 3, they moved Devonta Smith around quite a bit. I would expect some double teams on A.J. Brown, and that's going to help Devonta Smith like it has all season long. So he doesn't drop below number 6. And another high-end number 2 receiver closes out this look at the top receivers in the top 7 this week. That's T. Higgins of the Bengals. Now, he's going to be a little bit emotional with this game. It is the Bills, and there's that DeMar Hamlin sentiment there that T. Higgins is going to be inspired, want to play a good game here. And good, Hamlin's not going to play, but he might be in attendance. And I think people are looking at the Bills being inspired by Hamlin being out there. But keep in mind, it happened on the Bengals' home field. They also saw that and were inspired by that, and their team felt that as well. So T. Higgins, I think, is going to go out and have a good game here. Emotions riding high, but really look at this matchup again. The Bills' secondary, not all that here, and that's going to really help Higgins get involved quite a bit here if they try to contain and focus on Chase here in this game. All right, that's your top 7 wide receivers. We'll get into the rest of the wide receivers, how they stack up against each other in this divisional playoff round here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Then we'll start looking at the tight ends and the streaming defenses. So a lot of good stuff there still on the show as we do a matchup Thursday on Locked On Fantasy Football. Our betting partner here that we've talked about a lot on the show is BetOnline, and it's a good time to get in on the betting action here with the divisional playoffs, and we still have a lot of college basketball to navigate through. So pro football, college basketball, good time of year for both of those sports. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting information, stats, news, analysis. And get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. We mentioned not just NFL and college basketball, you know, NBA, NHL, those are in full swing right now. So a lot of good stuff as well as the futures. They've got it all at betonline.net. If you love sports podcasts, and we know you do, listening to Locked On shows, including Locked On Fantasy Football, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting information. Head to the website today, or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available to you on all platforms. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast and get daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories only in Locked On NFL, plus in-depth analysis on the biggest games with NFL key predictions every Friday. That's tomorrow. And Monday, local insiders cover the weekend with game-to-game episodes. We'll have a good recap of what we saw on Saturday and Sunday there with those shows. So look forward to that. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. All right, it is time to continue the show. Look at the rest of the wide receiver rankings here for the divisional playoffs. Coming in at number 8 is Christian Kirk. Again, Christian Kirk is only at number 8 because of all the talent ahead of him. But I think he's going to be busy. They're going to throw to the middle field quite a bit. This Chiefs secondary is pretty weak, so the Jaguars should have some high volume trailing Trevor Lawrence there behind Patrick Mahomes. So Christian Kirk is their number 1 receiver. They can work him on the inside. The Chiefs have actually been a little bit better inside, but Kirk, I think they'll scheme open a little bit better with Doug Peterson, knowing the tendencies and schemes of Andy Reid's defense. Also, haven't seen it earlier this season with Steve Spagnuolo, so that's going to help. They need to get Christian Kirk going. When he gets going, the Jaguars usually have a lot of success with Lawrence in their passing game and moving the ball and scoring. But again, things are going to open up. If the Chiefs open up a big lead, then they're going to protect against the deep ball outside. That should create a lot of inside opportunity for Christian Kirk as well. So however you look at it, whether the Jaguars are being aggressive to try to outduel the Chiefs in the shootout or trailing, Christian Kirk will be busy, and that's why he comes in at number 8. And again, a little bit conservative with it because, again, the Chiefs can be decent in the slot, but I'm not going to go any more down with the Jaguars' number 1 receiver. Brandon Ayuk comes next. The Cowboys could have Trayvon Diggs trying to contain Deebo Samuel and try to move around with him. Good luck with that. Deebo's a hard guy to cover in that sense. Brandon Ayuk may get the nice matchup on the outside. And Ayuk was a little bit quiet last week. It was a Deebo game. So if the attention goes to Deebo here with the Diggs and others with that Cowboys defense, if they try to take him out of the game, Ayuk should see things free up here. So we've seen that a lot this season. Really, Ayuk and Devonta Smith are very similar, where the attention has to be put on Brown or Samuel so much that Ayuk gets things opened up, and that's why he had the 1,000-yard season here. So, like him, Gabe Davis fading a little bit. I don't think he's going to duplicate his big performance either last week. It was very solid with more than 100 yards and a touchdown against the Dolphins. He also had that 4-touchdown game in the divisional playoff round against the Chiefs last year. I think he gets cooled off a little bit. The Bengals are going to protect against the big play here. And, look, they did give up the long one last week to DeMarcus Robinson, but I think that's going to be more of Diggs. They're working with Eli Apple, so I'm not feeling it with Gabe Davis doing as much. I think he's solid, but doesn't come in among the top receivers this week. I also like Kadarius Toney as a hot sleeper. I think you look at Toney's profile, the Jaguars can struggle with receivers of his nature after the catch. Inside, they can be pretty weak here. So if I'm going to go with the Chiefs receiver this week, I think I go with Kadarius Toney over Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He's got the extra week to rest, get more absorbed in this offense for a key role here. And I think Patrick Mahomes trusts him a little bit more. So Kadarius Toney comes in pretty high on the list here at number 11. Zay Jones rounds out the wide receiver one. So the matchup is really good for him on the outside against the Chiefs. As we mentioned, Kirk might have a little bit of struggle, but he's got the better volume and the talent overall. But Jones should be pretty productive in this game as well. Isaiah Hodgins falls out a little bit. Nice game against the Vikings. We really called that and liked it, but he could see either Darius Slay or James Bradbury a little bit more. So you have Richie James in the middle of the field that you can look at. I just think it's hard to trust the Giants' passing game in general against a much tougher matchup defensively against the Eagles on the road versus what we saw at the Vikings. Michael Gallup scored last week, but didn't do a whole lot else for the Cowboys. So again, I think it's going to be CeeDee Lamb. Dominated game here for the Cowboys, and Gallup can be contained there against the 49ers with potentially Ward in coverage against him. So I don't have Richie James too far behind Isaiah Hodgins, two spots below there. So at number 15, you can look at Richie James to get some balls there underneath if they fall behind. Avante Maddox, we'll see about his health. He's been banged up and had to miss time. So if he comes back, that's going to hurt Richie James a bit in the slot. Next, I have Juju Smith-Schuster. We'll see. Big slot can give them a little bit of trouble, but I think this is more of a Kadarius Toney get him open game here, playing off Travis Kelce and the running game with Isaiah Pacheco and, of course, Jerick McKinnon catching passes out of the backfield. So I see Toney being the third guy behind Kelce and McKinnon catching key passes, and Juju more of a complimentary role this week. Tyler Boyd, again, Jamar Chase moving him into the slot a little bit more. That can cut into Tyler Boyd's value because They can use Hayden Hurst to tight end or Trent Irwin. So I'm going away for Tyler Boyd if I can. And I think this is more of a Chase alpha game with Higgins coming in, scooping up most of the rest of the receiving production on top of the running backs there, Joe Mixon and Samaje Perine. Marcus Valdes-Scantling, big deep threat. I think with the arrival of Tony and Juju Smith-Schuster being a possession guy and Kelsey McKinnon, I think it's hard to rely on MVS getting enough looks here. And Khalil Shakir is a little bit of a sleeper here for the Bills, working the slot. Isaiah McKenzie missed time there, so we know that. So Cole Beasley was the guy who benefited, but Shakir made some nice plays as well. The rookie, I think, will have a much bigger role next year. So we're putting him on the radar here for the divisional playoffs. But that's how deep we go this week. We don't want to go any deeper than that if we're looking for plays at wide receiver in the divisional playoffs for fantasy football. All right, we'll close the show looking at the tight end rankings as well as how the eight defenses of the week stack up against each other. We'll do that in our final segment here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Are you looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories? Then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal, just like a lot of you out there, is to eat a little healthier this year. And if you're like me, when you want to eat healthier but you don't want to compromise taste, then, man, I've got the thing just for you. You've got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. It's perfect for falling through on your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're all covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And unbelievable flavors that they come in, like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better, they are really healthy for you. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. Now, you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club as well. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate coconut puffs. And if you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with their hit flavors at Built, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. So check it out. Built Bar now available at your local Walmart and Sam's Club here. So check that out for sure. Good stuff. Built always bringing it with the delicious protein bars, the best there that you'll ever find. All right, it is time to close the show looking at your tight end rankings here for the divisional playoffs. Travis Kelce comes off the bye, immediately shoots up to number one. Good matchup against the Jaguars this week. And remember, Gerald Everett went off against the Jaguars in the wild card round, so that's good for Travis Kelce. George Kittle was a little bit quiet last week with Debo Samuel running the show and the running game, of course, for the 49ers against the Seahawks. This week, he should be a little bit more involved against the Cowboys. The Cowboys have actually been pretty good against the tight end as well, so something to watch there. But if they put some attention on Samuel and Ayuk gets a free, Kittle should also see some action here. So Kittle's fought through some tough matchups before to be productive, such as the Commanders a few weeks ago. He had a big game there, so I think he can blow up against the Cowboys there. Dallas Goedert comes in at number three. I think I debated between Kittle and Goddard. Goddard's usage, a little bit hard to figure out between him and A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, but last week T.J. Hockenson just had a massive game against the Giants. So you figure if they contain Brown, follow the same game plan a little bit, and Brown's the red zone factor, Smith is kind of the number one receiver by default, I think Goddard in the middle of the field will be effective. So he comes in at number three. Number four, we have Evan Ingram. So Evan Ingram has been pretty solid. He scored last week. He's been very active in the second half of the season. The Chiefs do have some issues with linebacker and safety coverage, so he comes in at number four. So that's your top four of the week at tight end. You have Dawson Knox coming in at five. He's got a major scoring streak going on right now, so it would not surprise me if he finds the end zone against the Bengals. So he still comes in at five because I think these other guys will get volume elsewhere. Knox didn't get a lot of volume last week against the Dolphins, but touchdown dependent, where I think those other guys are going to be involved in the game plan regardless. Dalton Schultz came through with a couple of touchdowns against the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers had some vulnerabilities against the tight end. They left him open a couple times for Dak Prescott. This week, the 49ers, again, tough on the tight end, much like the Cowboys are. Kittle just more talented than Schultz at this point, so I have to drop Schultz down to number six this week. We only have two starting tight ends left. Hayden Hurst would come behind Schultz there for the Bengals. I don't know what his usage is going to be in the matchup, and the Bills are pretty good at covering the tight end with Matt Milano and others. And then finally, we have Daniel Bellinger. The usage just not there. The rookie tight end has flashed early this season. It seemed like after he had that scary eye injury, he hasn't been involved as much. Getting a little bit more run, but There's a little bit more usage with the wide receivers and 11 personnel with Daniel Jones. So that's kind of hurt Belger. So Belger comes in as the eighth guy. If you're looking deeper than a starting tight end, how about Noah Gray? They want to incorporate him a little bit more, maybe a couple more two tight end sets from the Chiefs to confuse the Jaguars defense a little bit. But Noah Gray would be the guy here. Jody Fortson did have some success in the first matchup there. So I'm looking at Noah Gray behind Kelsey. And then one big play, that's all that happened there for Jake Ferguson, but he's an exciting young tight end. Don't forget, they also have Peyton Hendershot behind Dalton Schultz. So, again, Ferguson, though, has some touchdown potential. So maybe we'll talk about Gray or Ferguson as a little bit of a punt, kind of dart throw in DFS so you can open up the rest of your lineup here and not invest too much in tight end this week if you're not willing to pay for Kelsey. But really like the Goddard-Ingram tier this week when we're looking at divisional playoff tight ends in fantasy football. All right, let's go down to the defenses here. The Eagles have to start here. They are a very talented defense. They're at home. They've been very good at home. They've dominated the Giants a couple times here. So really like the Eagles there at number one. Number two, the 49ers. Dak Prescott could go back to his interception ways with the 49ers shutting down the run and creating some pressure with Nick Bosa. So they come in at number two. The Chiefs could have a nice lead here, so that create drop back volume for Trevor Lawrence, setting up the chance for sacks and takeaways. They come in at number three. Bills coming in at four because they're at home against the Bengals and can be tough and maybe force some turnovers. The Bengals did score a defensive touchdown last week. Josh Allen did have some turnovers, so it's pretty close between those two teams. Bills and Bengals, pretty much a toss-up tied for fourth here on the list. Cowboys come in there at number six, only because they have a lot of talent on their defense. Michael Parsons, Leighton Vander Esch, the pass rush. Diggs can make big plays if Brock Purdy makes a mistake here. So when you look at that, they're there. But the other reason they're way down is also the 49ers' explosive offense that has been rolling, scoring 30 to 40 points per game pretty easily. So can't go there with the Cowboys this week with a lot of confidence. Then come the Jaguars. I mean, Patrick Mahomes has made a few mistakes. The Jaguars have made some big plays, we know, defensively. So they come in at number seven. But they're really big play dependent in this one for sure. And I'm not sure Mahomes is going to give them that opportunity. And last but not least, the Giants, they're on the road. They're the worst defense, I think, less in the playoffs overall. They also are playing the most explosive potential offense that isn't the 49ers and the Eagles. So they're really buried at number eight this week. So there you have it. There's a look there at your top wide receivers, tight ends, and streaming defenses here for fantasy football in the divisional playoffs in the NFL. So looking forward to these games for sure this weekend. It should be very exciting, and really I expect some fireworks and back and forth and a lot more close games. We actually only had two blowouts there, the first and last game, 49ers Seahawks and Buccaneers Cowboys, but I think you'll see four very interesting games this week, at least within a touchdown. For the most part, I think if you look at one team to pull away, it's the Chiefs over the Jaguars. But everything else should be somewhat interesting here and a lot of fun to watch. So we're just hoping for a lot of points in fantasy football, and I think we'll get them with the wide receiver and tight end talent on the field, as well as the running backs and quarterbacks who broke down. I think this is it. Offense is going to win championships in the NFL for a while now, and we have a lot of great offensive teams, young offensive teams with a lot of upside. That's what we're looking for, not only in a season-long and a DFS during the regular season, but also into the playoffs here. So a lot of good times here, and we can't wait for the games. And we can't wait tomorrow. We're going to break down DFS for you. So we'll look at the FanDuel cash games targets, whether you're playing the Saturday slate or the Sunday slate. We'll break those down for you. And then we'll also look at DraftKings tournament picks, as well as our Prize Picks of the Week. So all kinds of good stuff there for you on the final show of the week here ahead of the divisional playoffs on Lineup Friday. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today on Matchup Thursday. For your second listen, check out the Locked On NFL podcast, bringing you the local insights you love, the national spotlight, with daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. For Locked On Fantasy Football, have a great Thursday. This has been Vinny Iyer. We'll check you out tomorrow, closing the week, with Lineup Friday and DFS Advice.